encourage you to stand, greet one another, let everybody know how glad you are to see them.
Get to your feet. Let's praise the Lord together.
You win every battle. Nothing can stand against.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in that song. Thank you who are at home on social media there, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow us, subscribe, retweet us there on Twitter. And welcome to those who are listening on our phone live streaming service. If anybody needs that number, see me after the service or call the church office. We'll be glad to give that to you. At home, if you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin. These are in the windowsills as well as at the doors. You can get up and get one of those if you need one of those. We also have the children's worship bulletins. They're in the windowsill to my right, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. You can download those also under that info tab online. You can print them, send them off to other people. If you want to grab extra copies after service over here, feel free to do that. And then also under that info tab is the prayer list. So I want to encourage you to take the time to get that downloaded also. Looking forward today to a wonderful worship service. We'll share some more prayer requests and things with you a little bit later. Brother Mike is not able to be here. His mom is in the hospital, and they're going to be doing surgery on her tomorrow, so keep her in your prayers. But Brother Bradley is going to be filling in for him this morning. So Brother Bradley, if you'll come and lead us.
We're going to sing 413, Faith is a Victory. If you want to stand, please. Encamped along the hill where I hear Christian soldiers rise, encamped along the glory skies, against the foaming bells below, let all our strength be heard. And may my victory be known, and through the course of the world, faith is a victory.
Amen. If you're following along in our bulletins, you'll notice that this is our missionary time for our week, our missionary moment. You'll notice that Joshua and Brittany Brown are our missionaries to be remembering in your prayers. They are serving in Sneed's Ferry, North Carolina. You say, why do we need missionaries in North Carolina? We need missionaries here in Tennessee also, and we have missionaries who are serving across Tennessee from our North American Mission Board. But Joshua and Brittany are serving there in North Carolina, and we want to encourage you to pray for Pillar Church and for them as they share the gospel and minister to the families with military in that military community there. We also have a short video that we want to share with you this morning as we begin our emphasis on our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You'll notice these were in your pews. There are some, I think, in the windowsills that you can be able to pick up. Though this is our beginning of our prayer guide for this week, I want to encourage you to take that and use it as today's is the Real Jesus in Provo, Utah. And so be praying for our North American missionaries. But watch this video as we kick off our week of prayer.
These might be some of the greatest stories ever told, which is why we might just have the best job in North America. We get to tell stories about missionaries in the U.S. and Canada. Stories that are so powerful and so amazing, we feel humbled to even be here doing this. Like, did you hear the story about the Marine sniper who's planning a church? Or the one about the missionaries who started a laundromat just so they could meet a need and tell their neighbors about Jesus? Or how about the church planter in Wyoming who's discipling new believers, then sending them out as circuit riders to tiny unreached towns all over the state? People call these missionary stories, and that makes sense. I mean, the missionaries are the ones serving on the field, and they're the ones on camera. But there's another main character in each of these stories you really can't see, not unless you look in a mirror. You might not realize it, but your faithful prayers and your generosity to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, that's where the fuel and the encouragement for these missionaries comes from. I mean, God is taking your prayers and gifts and planting this missionary family in a neighborhood where they can go into all the world without ever leaving their house. He's sending this missionary into what might be the most unreached community in all of North America. He even showed this couple how to turn a border town into a missions training center. Your support makes you a main character in every one of these stories. Stories of how God is building His kingdom. He's using thousands of missionaries, some you'll hear about, most you'll never even know, and He's using you. Together, we're sharing the gospel, the greatest story ever told, with people who need to hear. Together, we're stepping into the story.
And that is what we're going to be doing all throughout this month, is stepping into the story, hearing about some of our missionaries and the work that God is doing there. So be sure to get that prayer guide and be praying through that. And also remember to pray for Joshua and Brittany Brown, as well as our missionaries in Moldova. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for these. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much, Lord, for who you are and for all that you've done for us. We ask your blessings upon everything we're doing here this morning. And for that to happen, Lord, we know we must come with a clean heart before you, confessing our sin. Lord, whatever sins we may have committed against you, whatever thoughts we may have had that were ungodly, we just come and ask, Lord, for you to forgive us, cleanse us with the precious blood of Christ, and cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Lord, set us on the path of righteousness to follow you each and every day, one moment at a time, one day at a time. And Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we want to uplift our prayers, Lord, for the Browns who are serving in North Carolina. We want to pray for the missionaries in Moldova. We want to pray for all of our missionaries in North America who are serving here in the United States, Canada. Father, we just ask for your blessings upon them. Have your hand upon them, Lord, and use them in a great and mighty way. Whatever needs they might have, we pray that you'll provide for their needs. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to realize, as we saw in this video, that we are a part of that story of these missionaries. Lord, you have laid it upon our missions team and our church to have a goal of 7,000 to reach. And so, Father, I pray that you will impress upon each and every person who's here to give towards that offering throughout this month. And Father, I pray that we'll be able to reach that goal, maybe even exceed that goal, to send those missionaries and keep those missionaries on the field, sharing the good news of the gospel in places we may never get to go. So we ask your blessings upon them. We ask your blessings upon this service. Lord, we just want to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So we ask for your will to be done, for you to be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me just remind you, especially if you're at home, you can go to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side there. Click the Give Online tab. You can do your online giving. You can do that from here on your phones or your devices. You can do it through the offering envelopes that are in the pews in front of you. Just place it in the offering plates down here at the front or at the doors as you leave. We do still need volunteers to help with the sound and audio visual. We need volunteers to help with Vacation Bible School, volunteers to help on Fridays with the food share ministry over at the ministry center. And so if you could help with any of those, please see me, let me know that you can help. We've got something special that's coming up this year. And so if you'll go ahead and play this. So this is our 75th anniversary of the church here at Highland. And we had a meeting yesterday to begin some planning to get ready for that. And you'll see the logo here that we have. Our theme is going to be honoring the past, but embracing the future. And that's what we want to do throughout this year. We're going to have several services throughout this year. We're going to be sending out some save the date information that you'll know when those services are coming, inviting some special guests to come back and join us for those. But we need some help still on those teams that we have, that we talked about yesterday at our planning meeting. So we need people to help in the media team. We need people to help on a decorations team, first impressions team. That's like the outside grounds, the inside of the buildings, getting things prepped and ready for that. A music team, the publicity team, history team, the hospitality and kitchen team, our invitation team to reach out to maybe members who aren't coming anymore, or those who need to be, who haven't been coming for a while, or maybe have moved, to invite them to come. Also, we need to do some registration as people come. And then also, we have a team for nursery children and youth ministry, some things that we have, some ideas we have of things that we want to do there. So if you can help us with that, there is a sign-up sheet, actually several sign-up sheets, one for each one of those teams out here on the board. I want to encourage you to stop by there, take a look through them. You'll see these ministry teams being listed in your bulletin and such over the next weeks, that you can be reminded of those things. We'll be putting it on our Facebook group so that you can see that also, and be praying about what, how you would help us in prepping and planning for that specific meeting. We've also got some other great news for you this morning. If you were here Wednesday night, you heard the good news. Your directory photos are here. So we have those ready this morning. This is a little video here that you're going to see. You'll find it in your envelope that you put your sticker on. You'll find in that envelope your pictures, as well as you'll find this card. On this card, it has at the very bottom, it has some information on the card, but at the very bottom, it has the website address that you need to go to for your pictures. It will only be your pictures. It won't be everybody's pictures. And then the password that's listed at the bottom. So you can see that on the screen there. That's ours. And so you can do that. If you want to see the different styles of pictures when you go to order, please see me. We've got samples of each one of the different styles. If you're not sure whether you want to do just the regular, you want to do the luster, or you want to do the metallic, or you want to do the matte finish, we can show you those. We have those, so just want to make sure that you are aware of that. If you don't have, did not give us an email address, if you gave us an email address and you keep up with your email, you would have seen that that went out last night to you on an email, so you can find that same link in your email, that you can use that same password and download your pictures there. You can make purchases of pictures, however you want to do that. You can download them and take them wherever you want to and print them. When we do it with other companies, you can't do that. Those pictures are copyrighted. These are yours. We've given these to you free of any copyright on them. You can do what you want to with them. You can put them out in the garden if you want, however you want to do. But just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. We're going to have two tables down here at the end after the announcements on this side. So choir, don't get mistaken because you're looking at it backwards up there on the wall. On this side is going to be A through L. On this side is going to be a table with M through W. So that's your last names, wherever, whichever table you need to go to, go to that table and you'll find your envelope with your pictures there. And then if you have any issues, you didn't give us an email, or you need help downloading those, please call the church office. Stop by the church office. We'll be glad to help you do that and to get those downloaded for you. So, Brother Bradley.
Our next hymn will be What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 182. And after this song, the children will be dismissed for children's church.
Thank you.
next hymn will be 621. Lead On, King Eternal. Stand up, please.
Already my turn again. Alrighty. Alright, take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Let me just remind you, there will be two tables set up down here, and the ladies will be spreading those out on the table so that you can be able to get through those, and they'll help you find your name. You wrote your own label, so if you can't read your own handwriting, it's a all right, take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 down through verse 17. We're going to begin here with verse 13, 14, and 15. So would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word this morning? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your blessings. Lord, thank you so much for this passage that we've been going through for a couple of weeks already in Ephesians 6 about the spiritual warfare. I pray today, Lord, as we finish this section on the spiritual armor, that you would help us, Lord, to be prepared at least in that aspect for the battles that come each and every day for each and every one of us, whether we're a believer or not. Father, I pray that if there are those who are here that are not believers, Lord, that this would be a day for them of salvation, because that is where the battle begins for them. Lord, they will lose the battle if they don't know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And so, Father, I pray they will come this morning to give their heart and their life to you. But, Father, for those who are believers, we pray, God, that you will strengthen us, you will encourage us, you will embolden us as we put on the whole armor of God to withstand against our enemy, the devil. So bless your word this morning. May it speak truth into our lives. May we see the application. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, we've already looked at several points in this already. We've looked at the whole armor here. We've been looking at the belt of truth. We saw that last week. We saw also the shoes that are being prepared for sharing the gospel. You'll see that in our points there. We've been looking at the armor itself this past Sunday. We're still looking at that armor today. We've saw the breastplate of righteousness and how it protects the vital organs and how it ought to be protecting our heart, not just physically but spiritually, is the implication that Paul is giving here. So he's using a physical illustration of Roman soldiers to give us that image to understand this battle that is happening spiritually. And so last time we talked about the gospel of peace and the darts of dissension that is used for to help us to withstand that dart of the devil. He's always throwing darts at us. You know, one of the most important pieces of the equipment there is those shoes, are those boots, because without good shoes or boots, you couldn't march. Without good boots or shoes, you couldn't stand. You couldn't fight. We talked about how they didn't have cleats like we have today, but they would take little bits of metal or hobnails and put those on the bottom of their boots, put them through their boots so that they would be able to get some traction with their feet so that they could withstand if the ground was a wet field that was slippery or a cliff. And so it was extremely important for the soldier to keep his feet firm, because no soldier could fight the battle laying on his back if he couldn't stand firm. And so that's what we talked about last time in this passage. And so we come today to our fourth aspect here of the armor. This is, as you see here in verse 16, he changes his terminology here in this verse in a way that you'll notice. Some versions will list it one way, but he begins in verse 16 saying, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith." Now, one of the things I want you to look at as you look at this passage is there's a change in the armors here. In verse 13 and verse 14, or actually verse 14 and verse 15, he talks about having these things fastened to you, having these things, this armor on you. And so he's talking about having it here. He's also going to show us here in these, let me get something situated there that's popping up on my screen. He's talking in verse 15 or verse 16 now about taking up. And when he talks about the next two pieces of our armor, he's talking about taking those things up in your walk with the Lord. And so we come to this shield of faith that he talks about in verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So we talked about some of what those other different aspects of the armor were in facing some darts. This is the dart of doubt, the dart of doubt. We see that change there. Some versions say in all circumstances take up there. Because up until this time he's been saying having. Now he's saying that we're to take it up. Why that difference in the terminology there? Well, the first articles of the armor of God were articles that you attached to yourself and carried with you. But these next articles of the armor are those which you had to pick up to take with you. So take, for instance, you've got the breastplate of righteousness. That's already attached to you. You've already got your shoes on. You've already got your belt on. If you're not ready with those things, you're not ready for the battle. And so these other things are things you're going to pick up to put on and take with you. So you get that picture there of the Roman soldier that Paul is using there. You see the picture of a Roman soldier who's maybe caught a few minutes to take a rest. He's over there by the barracks resting. He has his belt on. He has his breastplate on. He has his shoes on or his boots on. And all of a sudden, the cry is, "The enemy's coming, the enemy's coming." Well, what do you do as a soldier? You jump up,
grab those extra things that you need there. He reaches over. He gets his helmet of salvation that we're going to talk about in a little bit. He puts it on his head. He reaches over there, grabs the sword of the Spirit that we're going to talk about next week in one hand, and he heads out for the battle with the shield of faith in his other arm as he goes forward into the battle. And so that's what we're seeing here. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Now, the shield was something that was interesting. The shield was about 4 feet tall. It wasn't what we have in our minds of the Crusaders, if you will, the British and those European armies that would come, and they had maybe a shield that went just down this. It was a 4 foot shield, about 2 foot wide, about the width of a body, to protect the body from the fiery darts that would be hurled at it by the enemy, at a person by the enemy. It was made of 2 planks of wood that would be glued together. It would be wrapped over with canvas or leather or calfskin. Then an ornamental metal piece was placed on the shield. An official insignia would be placed on that shield, because if you're hiding behind the shield, you want to be able to recognize, is this your guy or is it not, if you get mixed up on the battlefield or something and you've got shields there. So by having that official insignia, they could recognize which army it was by the insignia. In those days, they had shields so that you could recognize your own guys. And so he says, take the shield of faith, which spiritually represents taking the promises of God from the Word of God to the issues of your daily life. It's faith that takes the promises of God and applies them to your circumstances and to the situations of your daily life. Faith applies truth. So faith is not just in some abstract thoughts that are out there. Our faith is in our God and in His Word. That's why you need to know His Word, as we're going to talk about in our weapons that we have to defend against the enemy. So understand, we're in a battle with the devil. And one of the greatest things we can do is to put our trust in the promises of God. We can trust God and we can trust His Word. How do we know that? Well, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, here's what it says there. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." So there's a promise that God gave Abram that I will be your shield. Did you know that God is your shield? He's your shield, as we've been talking about. All this that he's talking about, the spiritual armor here, goes back to the previous verses that he was talking about, the family, about the marriage relationship, husbands and wives. He's your shield against the enemy. And remember, your enemy is not your husband or your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your parents. Your enemy is the devil. It's not your boss at work, and it's not your employees at work. It's the devil who is behind all of those bad and negative things. And so when we come to this and we see what he says here in verse 16, he's reminding us here of these wonderful promises that he gave back to Abraham way back in the beginning of the Bible, that he is our shield. So if you're here this morning and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God is your shield. And you ought to stand on that promise from God's Word. Now, the shield we see here is the shield of faith. And so we have to claim those promises, because God has given us, has given to us those promises to assurances that by faith we can claim those assurances. So let me ask you a question. In your battles daily, which you probably have had or are having, or you soon will if you're not in the battle right now, in your battle on a daily basis, are you going back to the Word of God, to the promises of God, and applying those promises to those circumstances? That's what we're to be doing. He says that we're to do this that we might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now remember, the shield was a defensive instrument. As we said, 4 feet tall. It's 2 feet wide. It often was covered with the leather or some kind of cloth that was soaked with water, because in the New Testament times, the enemies many times would shoot fiery darts, fiery arrows towards the enemy. So if it landed in your shield and it soaked in water, what happens to the fire? It goes out. And so the tips of those darts, they would be lighted. Those flaming darts would be shot at the Roman soldiers. The shields would not only defend against those flaming arrows, not only stop them from penetrating to them, it would also put out the fire. And so the enemy would hurl those fiery darts into battle. You could see the darts flying, and it would be a frightful experience that soldiers, if they saw those flaming darts coming at them, their natural inclination is I'm going to run away. And that's if soldiers ran away from the battle, then they're going to get destroyed. And so it could be such a frightful experience that soldiers could panic under the attack of those fiery darts. So if for some reason they let their sword down, the fiery darts would come, and they let that shield down, and it would set their clothing on fire. Sometimes in an attack like that, the soldiers would drop their shields, they would run in panic, and utter defeat. Understand spiritually for us, the devil has fiery darts, and he knows us very well. He knows exactly which button to push on you. He knows exactly which fiery darts work on you best than any other darts. And he sends and shoots those darts towards you. For some, it's the darts of the lust of flesh. For others, it's the darts of the lust of the eyes. For others, it's the darts of the pride of life, darts of doubt, darts of disbelief, darts of lust, darts of shame. The devil is constantly hurling darts at us. That's why we see, as we talked about last week, so many families, so many marriages, so many people in their careers are struggling because the enemy is hurling darts at you, and it seems like one dart after another dart after another dart, and you don't get any relief. So those darts are constantly coming at you. So you can picture the Roman soldier with darts flying everywhere. He puts up that shield of faith, and there those darts are. They hit that specially treated shield, and it just quenches those darts. You know what it is that puts out the attacks of the devil on you? Is faith. That's why he calls it the shield of faith. The devil hurls a dart at you and says, you're not going to heaven when you die. I mean, look at what you've done. Look at the kind of person you are. You know what kind of person you are. But faith says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. That's what faith says. You remember when the devil tempted Jesus, what did Jesus use to defend against the devil? The Word of God. He used Scripture. Every time he would go back and say, it is written. That's why we're going to talk about in the sword, which is the Word of God, next week. Somebody says that when you die, you're just going to the grave like ashes in the wind. But faith says, absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the faith that you need to be living in. We have a shield, and it's a mighty shield of faith. And when the devil attacks, we are to put up the shield of faith. I believe this shield is to ward off the doubts, the darts of doubt. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if faith is what pleases God, then doubt is what pleases the devil. Because if you're doubting about your salvation, you're not being effective as a witness for Jesus Christ. He'll try to get you to doubt the Word of God. The enemy will try to get you to doubt the will of God. And he'll try to get you to doubt the works of God. How does he do that? He causes you to think about, well, where is your God? You're going through all these problems, and where is he? And you begin to think, well, I don't know. I don't see him around here. What we need to do is go back to his word, and you can see in his word how he has been faithful time after time after time. That's one of the reasons it's important to look back to the past, to see how God has been faithful here, and God has been faithful there, and God has been faithful in this situation, so that when you're in the midst of the battle, you can always look back and say, if he was faithful there, he's going to be faithful here. And you can trust him. Let me say this. Faith presupposes doubt. If there's no room for doubt, there's no room for faith. So understand, let me just say this. There's nothing sinful, nothing wrong about doubt. Every person has doubts at times in your life. It's when you stay in that doubt and you wallow in that doubt. Some people think it's a sin if you doubt, but doubt is always going to be there. Don't ever be ashamed if you've had doubts in your heart. What you need to do is make sure you deal with those doubts. I've had times in my life where I doubted. I doubted even my salvation at times. That's the enemy. There are some Christians who claim that they've never doubted their salvation. There was a woman who came up one time to the great evangelist D.L. Moody, and she said, Mr. Moody, I've been saved for 25 years, and I've never had a single doubt. Dwight L. Moody said to her, Madam, I doubt that you've ever been saved. That's a little rough, but that would be like somebody saying, I've been married for 50 years and never had an argument. You see, doubt in and of itself is not a sin. It's what you do with your doubt that determines whether or not it becomes a sin. You know what doubt is? Doubt is an opportunity to strengthen your faith. So if you're having thoughts of doubt, even this morning, maybe you're online and you're watching and you're having some doubts, maybe doubts about the existence of God, doubts about the Word of God, doubts about that He loves you and sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Understand that doubt can be an opportunity to strengthen your faith or for you to start having faith in God. The way you starve your doubt is to feed your faith. The way you starve your doubt is to feed your faith. Do you know what you need to feed your faith? You need to feed your faith the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. So faith comes how? Through hearing. Hearing what? Hearing through the Word of Christ. When doubt comes your way, you just simply need to say, I'm going to take God at His Word, and I'm going to live according to the truth of His Word no matter what. I'm going to believe and stand on the promises of His Word. What's wrong with so many Christians is that they take up the shield of feelings rather than the shield of faith. Now, the shield of feeling is fine as long as you feel good. But you know, and I know, your feelings are up one day and down the next. When you begin to feel badly, the shield of faith will begin to disintegrate right before your eyes. And so the only shield that will ward off the darts of doubt is the shield of faith. So the next time the devil tries to bring doubt into your heart, if you'll just say, Satan, come what may, do what you can, say what you will, regardless of the circumstances, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to believe His Word. And when you do that, you have just built a wall that he cannot scale. You've built a mountain that he cannot climb. You've put up a shield that he cannot penetrate. Faith, the Bible tells us, is the victory that overcomes the world. So hold up the shield of faith. Then we have the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation for the darts of discouragement. So go back to verse 17. Verse 17 says, the next instrument you're to do, notice again, he told us to take up the shield. Now he says to take the helmet of salvation. You need to take up that helmet of salvation. Back in those days, the helmets were elaborate deals also. They were made out of bronze, over a skull cap of iron lined on the inside with felt or sponge. They had a ring on top. Where you could put feathers, a plume of feathers on top that would further identify which army, even which battalion, if you will, that they were part of to identify the different armies. The helmet was absolutely indispensable. But the only thing that could crack a helmet was an axe or a heavy sword. So you had to have the helmet on your head. A blow to the head could be fatal in battle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 mentions the helmet. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." So there's a little difference in terminology there, isn't there, between those two verses. In the scripture in verse 17, it says, "Take the helmet of salvation." In 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, it says, "For a helmet, the hope of salvation." So what he's telling us in both places is that you can have a no-so salvation rather than a hope-so salvation. A lot of people, I hope that I'm saved, but the Bible tells us you can have a confidence in your heart to have a no-so salvation. Because our salvation, as we've already talked about, is not based on our feelings. Our salvation is based on Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God. This passage calls our attention to the tenses of faith. You can be perfectly scriptural, biblically correct to say this: I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. One day it's going to be completed totally. That's salvation in the past, salvation in the present, salvation in the future. What are we talking about there? There's some churchy words that you sometimes will hear. That's justification when you come to faith in Christ. There's sanctification, that process of being set apart for God. And one day, which we have not received yet until you die, you'll receive a glorified body, and that's glorification. So justification, sanctification, glorification is what's left for us to have in heaven to finish out our completeness of our salvation. One of the most effective weapons that we can use against the devil when he attacks us is the assurance that we're saved. Now, I remember back when I had those doubts, especially when I was younger, I really struggled with that. But when I went back to and had some good godly counsel that sent me back to the Word of God, when I went back to the Word of God and saw what does the Word of God say I have to do to be saved? Not what do I feel like, but what does God's Word say? Because it's there that I can then use that against the enemy to say, no, just like Jesus did, "Thus saith the Lord, thus says the Word of God," to be able to defeat the enemy, the devil. And so one of the most effective weapons there is having that assurance of your salvation, that you belong to the Lord and that He's going to take us to heaven one of these days. Just like the breastplate was to protect the heart, what's the helmet protecting? The head. It's protecting the head. It's protecting the thoughts. You know where the enemy attacks us the most? Here and here. Because if he can get you in either one of those places, poof, you're done. You're dead. Those are the two primary targets. Because if Satan can't get to your heart because you have the breastplate of righteousness on, not your righteousness we talked about before, but the righteousness of Christ, then he's going to try to get to your head. He'll try to play mind games with you. He'll either try to make you think you're lost or to convince you that you can lose your salvation. The first time you sin, he'll say, "See, I told you. You lost your salvation. You might have been a Christian, but you're not now. You've lost it." There's not a more discouraged person in the world than a Christian who thinks that they've lost their salvation. Now, let me say this. I always want to say this caveat. I believe in once saved, always saved, if you're truly saved. If you truly confessed and trusted in Jesus Christ. A lot of people say with their lips that they're saved, but their life doesn't show it at all. They don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you've surrendered your heart and your life to Him. So, because you don't want to be at that place where you're that kind of discouraged person. Because when that happens to you, you need to make sure you put on the helmet of salvation. What is this helmet? First of all, it's the knowledge that you're saved. And then secondly, the confidence that you can never lose that salvation. Because if you could lose that salvation, think about it. When you come to faith in Christ, what do you become? You become a child of God. Now, let me tell you this. I can never unbecome my parents. They are my parents. They will always be my parents. You could have some kind of divorce, if you will, from your parents if you wanted to legally or something like that, but they would always be my blood relatives. When you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a child of God. And nothing can ever undo that being of a child of God. You're adopted into His family. And so get that in your heart and get that in your mind, and it will help you radically as you face the enemy, that you can never lose your salvation if you truly trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible teaches two things about salvation. It teaches you can be sure of it, and it teaches that you can be secure of it. So the next time the devil gets you to doubt whether you're or not you're saved, let me give you this piece of advice. Don't look back at your past experiences. Because every time you look back at your past experiences, you're going to get discouraged and you're going to think, there's no way I'm saved. I mean, look at all the bad things I did. I mean, think about that for a moment. If Paul, who's writing this to us, had looked back over his history, over his life, I mean, he was a murderer. He killed Christians before he came to faith in Christ. So I'm sure the devil was always trying to do a number on him to get him to doubt his salvation. Paul, you couldn't possibly be saved. You killed people. And yet, Paul learned, as he's writing here to the church at Ephesus, that he could be sure of his salvation. He could be secure in that salvation. So don't look back at your past experience. Don't look at how you feel. Don't look at how you feel. Because as we said, and we've gone over this numerous times, your feelings are up one day, down the next. Don't look at a baptismal certificate. Because you might have walked down an aisle and you never truly trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What you need to do is pull out this, the Word of God. Here's a verse that you can pull out. It's John chapter 5, and verse 24. And I would encourage you, if you are having doubts about your salvation, go to the book of 1 John. Read through 1 John. Read through the Gospel of John. Read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But 1 John is a great place there to get some assurance about your salvation. There. But here's a verse, John chapter 5, verse 24, that says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Now, let me ask you here, stop right there. Did he say you had to do a bunch of good works to have eternal life? Absolutely not. He said, whoever hears my word and believes, trusts in him, in God who sent Jesus, you have eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. In that one verse, Jesus says that you can be sure of your salvation and you can be secure in your salvation. You can be sure that you have everlasting, eternal life, and you can be sure that if you are truly a Christian, you will never come under the condemnation of judgment. Why? Because Jesus did it for you. Jesus took your punishment for you. 1 John, as we said, says the same thing. In fact, it says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So you can know that you have eternal life if you believed in the name of the Son of God. Heard about a man who went to a revival meeting. The preacher preached on John 5, 24 that we read a moment ago. And he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. On his way home, he said Satan was really tempting him, and it seemed as though Satan were preaching on his shoulder, whispering in his ear, "You're not saved, you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you'll never make it to heaven." And the devil was doing everything he could to make that young man think that he was still lost. When he got home, he said he felt like he was going through pure torment. So he sat down on the couch, and he said as he was sitting there, it seemed like Satan was right underneath the couch, just whispering and talking to him. Finally, he said to himself, what's that verse again that the preacher preached on? John 5:24. And he started saying to himself, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word. And he said, that's right, I've heard it. And whoever believes him who sent me, and he says, I believe that, has eternal life. He said, I've got it. He does not come into judgment. And he began to say to himself, I'll never lose my salvation, but has passed from death to life. And he said, I have everlasting life, and I cannot lose it. Why? Because Jesus said so. And he took that Bible, and he stuck it under the couch, and he said, there, devil, read it for yourself. He said, from that time on, the doubt left him. That's taking up the helmet of salvation. Let me ask you this morning, do you have the helmet of salvation? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Have you personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? These are the pieces of armor that we're to take into the battle to defend ourselves against the enemy. If you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to get defeated every single time. Let me implore you to come this morning to trust by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. What a powerful passage as we've just looked at the finished part here of the armor itself. Father, I pray that we would make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, about our salvation. There may be some who are here this morning that, Lord, they've been struggling for some time about that, not knowing beyond a doubt that they know Jesus. And the reason they are having those doubts is because they've been looking back at their past experiences. They've been looking back at their own feelings instead of looking at what does your word say about how a person is saved. Your word tells us, Lord, that if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we shall be saved. If we believe in the heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, you have eternal life. And so, Father, I pray this morning that there are those who may be here who want to get that settled. I pray they'll come in this invitation, Lord, to give their heart, to give their life to Jesus Christ. Father, there may be others of us who are here as believers, and Lord, we've been hearing those words from the devil, you can't possibly be saved. Look at what all you've done. Father, I pray that we would confess our sin before you and then live in the truth of your word that tells us, Lord, that when we confess our sins, those sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. They are buried in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again by you, because they are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we're going to have an accuser, the devil, as long as we live on this earth. One day, Lord, we know it's going to be a great experience when we come into your presence in heaven and we experience the final aspect of our salvation, the glorification, the new body in Christ. No more sin, no more pain, no more suffering, no more battles. Lord, some people are fighting some battles right now. And I just pray, God, that you will strengthen them. Strengthen them, Lord, not in themselves, but in your word. Strengthen them in the power of your spirit within them. Help them, Lord, to take the whole armor and put it on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand, as we sing, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation, number 305, I've decided to follow Jesus. Would you stand? Would you come this morning as the Lord lays on your heart?
verse will you come?
My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Our ushers are going to be bringing in a couple of tables to set up here for you to pick up your pictures at the end. Brother Jason's going to come and give our announcements.
Now, Brittany has probably some exciting VBS announcements.
Thank you. Good morning. A couple of things. We are still looking for some volunteers. We need a helper in our first and second grade room. And then I need somebody for big kid music and to help with little kid music. We are also looking for volunteers for VBS kickoff. So if you would like to help with that, please let Matt or I know. If you have not gotten your decoration orders to Amy, please do that. They were due on Friday, so please have your decoration orders to Amy this week so that she can get those in. Our next meeting will be the 30th of March at 4 p.m. And then last, we are looking for prizes for games for during our kickoff. So if you have anything, you can see Matt, Amy, or I, and we'll get whatever you need. Thank you.
Just a reminder, youth are meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. There's also a sign-up sheet outside pastor's office for volunteer spots for the car cruise-in. Need parents to help fill spots if their kid is going to camp. And that's from Matt. Scholarship committee is meeting right after service. I want to stay out of the way of this, so we'll probably go ahead and go to the conference room. That way we're out of the way. Please keep Kay Williams in your prayers. She is home doing better and eating. Roger told me she was out. He told me she was out. He might have been just lying to me. I don't know. Roger does that sometimes. Mike Stringfield, keep his mother in your prayers, having hip surgery tomorrow. The family of Wilburn Warren, and keep Hoyt Farrell in your prayers. He's healing from his surgery. And keep the Ritchie family in your prayers as the passing of Nancy. So I know Conrad and Connie and Patricia need your prayers. Is there anything else? If not, don't forget your pictures and let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so blessed that you've given us another breath of life today. Please be with us as we go out through this week. Please help us remember to put on the armor that you have provided for us every single morning. Help us to prepare for battle at work, at school, in our homes, and even in our hearts, Lord. Keep those fiery arrows far, far away. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.